"It's you," she cheered. "My giant helpful blur." "The name is Berg. Berg Dunn."
"I can't believe it."
She really couldn't. "What are you doing here?"
"I live here."
She frowned. "With Livy?"
"No."
He suddenly chuckled, shook his head.
"No, not with Livy. I live here in New York, Queens."
Rubbing her hands on her jeans, Charlie moved closer to the blur. "I am so sorry I didn't know who you were earlier. No wonder you were hurt. But I am really glad to see you again, because I didn't have a chance to thank you."
"It's not necessary."
"It is. Other than my sisters, no one ever helps me, especially not strangers. You could have easily locked you and that smaller, paler blur in the bathroom and let me fight my own battles. You didn't. So I owe you big. I just..." Charlie briefly closed her eyes. "Well, right now, I have some other issues to deal with." And your Ruger was dismantled and dispersed across a large swath of Italy. Charlie stood straight, refusing to let the shame of her life bow her. "But I promise I will pay you back." The blur leaned against the doorway.
"What are you talking about?"
"I'm talking about paying my debts."
"For what?" "You were being hunted. What was I supposed to do? Not help?"
"Most people wouldn't."
"We look out for each other. We're shifters."
"Oh, okay. Sure."
"Wow,"
he suddenly said.
"You really didn't recognize me until I mentioned the Ruger, did you?"
"Not really."
"How is that possible? You're definitely a shifter. I saw your claws. You should at least know my scent by now."
"Allergies," Charlie admitted, pointing at her nose. "Can't smell anything right now. From May until at least October, sometimes December, I am living on decongestants and Benadryl. And after making that mad dash out of my room and falling into your life, I don't have prescription-strength anything, including my nasal spray, which I can't tell you how much I miss." She rubbed her nose. "It's so itchy right now."
"So you can barely see, and you can't smell anything. But you can clothesline your sister?"
"I've been clotheslining my sister for a very long time now. And trust me when I say she deserved it." Charlie turned back to the mirror and decided to put her hair in a high ponytail, since she didn't have access to a blow-dryer with a diffuser.
"I've never met a shifter your age who has eye problems that weren't caused by some kind of strange work accident."
"I believe that," Charlie began, pulling her hair into a ponytail. "But you know, it's my father's fault."
"Your father's fault?"
"He has the most fucked-up genes ever."
"What do you mean?"
"I mean that the majority of my flaws and my sister's flaws are due to our sperm donor. He is absolutely and unequivocally the reason that we're all freaks."
"I wouldn't say you're freaks,"
the blur said on a chuckle, placing her hairband in her palm. "Oh, trust me," Charlie admitted. "We are such freaks."
"They are such freaks," Livy explained,
dumping a tray of ice cubes into a plastic bag. She moved across the kitchen and was about to give the bag to Dag when Vic wrestled it from her hands.
"I think you've touched his balls enough today, don't you?"
Vic asked before handing the ice to Dag, who appeared extremely relieved. Livy just didn't know why.
"Don't blame me for that."
"Then who do I blame?"
"Who gets in the middle of a honey badger fight?"
"I thought I was helping,"
Dag muttered as he gingerly placed the ice over his groin.
"Badgers don't need your help."
"It's not that I'm surprised you were fighting your own cousin," Vic said, resting his ass against the kitchen counter, "because that happens so often. But this one didn't actually do anything."
"We have a past."
"Shocking. Why do you call them freaks?"
Dag asked.
"Because they are."
She lowered her voice a bit.
"Can't you see that?"
"They're hybrids," Shen replied. "All hybrids are a little freaky."
Livy shook her head.
"For every other honey badger mix, from the beginning of time, it never mattered what else a honey badger was mixed with. Our vicious DNA has always destroyed everything else, leaving only the honey badger and some human. She lowered her voice again to a whisper. Except for those two. Charlie and Stevie are the only honey badgers I know who are not all honey badger. But they're not the problem.
They're not?
No, I actually like them. Well, I like Charlie. I don't know what the fuck to say about Stevie. But my cousin, who is all honey badger, still a freak.
She motioned the males over with a wave of her hand. Vic and Shen stood next to her by the doorway while Dag kept his place at the kitchen table, nursing his balls.
Just look at her out there,
Livy said, pointing at her cousin, who was standing in the living room by the younger sister.
What do you see?
A woman quietly standing by her still unconscious sister?
Shen asked.
Vic, do you see what's wrong with her?
Yes,
he said with an eye roll.
But it's stupid.
Tell him,
Livy pushed. Vic sighed.
She's smiling.
Exactly. And what the fuck does she have to smile about?
Livy moved back into the center of the kitchen.
That's not normal behavior.
Shen shrugged.
Maybe she's just happy.
What honey badger do you know who's fucking happy?
Well,
none. That's who. Not unless liquor and snake poison's involved. But her...
Livy finally admitted what everyone in the Yang family already knew.
She's completely sober right now, which tells me one thing.
Vic gazed down at her.
Which is?
She's a serial killer.
Because she... smiles?
Yes!
With her hair in a top knot and the ends scrunched a few times to help the curls form, Charlie washed her hands, dried them, and groped for her glasses. She knew she'd left them on the counter, but now she wasn't quite sure where they were. The blur placed them into her hand, and she put them on. Then she faced the blur and...
Oh, my.
A brow arched.
Something wrong?
Nope. Nothing was wrong. Everything was kind of... perfect. He was so pretty. Square jaw, brown hair with gold highlights, and dark brown eyes. And that perfect head sat comfortably on a thick neck attached to giant shoulders that were joined to a frighteningly large body. Not a fat body. An overwhelmingly muscular body. How did he find clothes for that physique? The dark blue t-shirt he currently had on seemed to barely contain all those muscles. Charlie realized she was staring. She might even be drooling.
What was the question? She asked.
Is something wrong?
Wrong? What could be wrong?
People are trying to kill you?
Well, yeah, there's that, she admitted. That's definitely a problem. But, you know, sadly, not the first time.
So all three of you are on the run?
Charlie sighed. Very. I thought we could at least stay here a couple of days, but now...
I think I can help.
He pointed a finger at her.
I might know a place you can stay. You'll be safe. Really safe.
Dropping her hands on her waist, Charlie said, Dude, Berg, whatever. I can't ask you to do any more than you've already done. I mean, you've been amazing. I owe my life to you. I already can't pay that back.
You don't have to pay back anything, and you're still not safe.
That's not your problem. That's my problem, because being the daughter of Freddie McKilligan means safety and security are just not part of my vocabulary.
You need a place to regroup. Figure out what you're going to do next. And I think we both know you can't do that here. I don't know Livy well, but she makes it clear when she doesn't like someone, and she does not like your sister. But I think I can get you a place where you'll have a little time to breathe.
Charlie hated bothering this man again. But as always, her father had put her in a situation where she was left with few, if any, options. How could anyone be that big a fuck-up? How could one man cause so much damage to so many without putting in that much effort to begin with? He was known for ridiculous schemes that managed to destroy entire banking systems. Deals that went so bad his partners either ended up in prison or dead. Poorly planned plots and cons that blew up. But somehow didn't affect Freddie McKilligan at all. Yet had his daughters running for their lives. again. Her father, as always, was the king of the fuck-up. Until now, though, because finally he was sitting in cold storage, and Charlie couldn't wait to bury him, to be done with him, to pretend someone so idiotic had never existed.
"Want me to make the call?"
her handsome savior asked when her silence went on and on.
I really don't mind. In fact, I want to do this for you.
Why? I mean, are you really that good a person?
He shrugged and said, "Yes, I am. But I'm a bear, so we're naturally loving and giving."
"Really? Because when I hear about bears, they're either going through people's garbage or attacking people in Alaska who were out on a jog."
"Because we were startled. Don't startle us, we don't attack."
"Unless you're really hungry." He gave an excruciatingly sweet grin.
"Unless we're really hungry."
Charlie laughed and decided to bite the bullet. "Okay, your help would be greatly appreciated." She glanced at the front of her phone and checked the time.
What?
"I'm just wondering if Livy would let us stash our stuff here for a couple more hours before we bail."
"Securing the place shouldn't take that long."
"Oh, it's not that. We're just here in the city to identify our father's body, and we were supposed to be at the morgue, like, an hour ago."
"Wait a minute."
He held up his hand, palm out, his head cocking to the side before he asked,
"Your father's dead?"
Crossing the middle and forefingers on both hands, Charlie raised them and said with a big smile she truly felt, "Here's hoping." Chapter 6 Will McKilligan sat down on the steps behind his house and stared at the kennels where the dogs were kept. They were usually barking. They barked all the time. Vicious beasts used for protection and, as Will liked to call it, persuasion when necessary. A bloke would reveal all with one of the McKilligan dogs growling at them. But those same noisy dogs were quiet. Because they knew, instinctually, if they made one noise, Will was likely to kill every last one of them. To say he was angry would be a gross understatement. Since he was a teen, he'd been putting up with this bullshit, and he was done. For more than 50 years, he'd had to deal with the American side of the McKilligan family, caused by his father's insatiable libido, and it was mostly not that big an issue. He had 2 half-sisters in the United States that he could tolerate on a good day, and another half-brother he never saw. But that idiot, that fucking idiot, Freddie McKilligan, that idiot Will wouldn't put up with any more, not for a second longer. But trying to find him would be the challenge. Like the snakes they all love to eat, the bastard was wily, could hide in plain sight sometimes, or so it seemed. But Will was done playing this game with him, especially now, especially after what that bastard had done to him, had done to the family. He didn't even bother contacting his other half-siblings in the States. He doubted they would care any more than his own brothers and half-brothers here at home did, not when it came to Freddie McKilligan. And business-wise, they had no connections. The Scottish McKilligan finances never mixed with the Americans. That's how their father had set it up, and that's how it stayed. His eldest son sat down beside him on the step.
"The uncles are calling," he said calmly.
"Let them call."
Will shook his head.
"I can't believe Freddie did this.
I can't believe he's smart enough to do this. The man's an idiot."
"A wily idiot. He's maneuvered his way out of more shite than you know.
We have our people in the States looking for him, but..."
"But he could be anywhere."
Will finished for Dougie.
"Maybe his sisters know where he is. I know he keeps in touch with them."
"They ain't that close. They hate him."
He thought a moment.
"What about Freddie's girls?"
"The daughters."
Dougie snorted.
"They hate him more than you do.
They wouldn't help him.
Besides, they got their own problems right now."
"What are you talking about?"
"Someone's trying to get the youngest again."
"What? Another drug dealer looking for designer meth?"
"No idea, but I can find out."
Dougie made the offer, Will was sure, without really thinking about it. It was just his way to always get his father the information he might need as quickly as possible. But instead of dismissing the suggestion, Will looked at his son and said,
"Yeah, find out."
Surprised, Dougie asked,
"Really? You're sure?"
"I'm sure.
Find out. Find out everything."
"And then what?"
"Then we see what we can do with that information. See how we can make it work for us. Even if it involves the girls?"
Will nodded.
"Their father doesn't care about them. But if there's one thing the man does fear, it's that oldest girl."
"Charlie."
Dougie stood. "I'll see what I can find out."
Will stood as well, already feeling a little better. Still angry, but now with some hope.
"And if we're lucky and all this gets fixed, I'll be able to kill me brother with me bare hands."
Dougie patted Will on the shoulder.
"We're all hoping for that, Da. We're all hoping for that."
Max glanced over her shoulder, cringed when a corpse hit the glass window, followed by a desperate scream of rage.
"So," the detective standing next to her said, "I'm guessing that was not your father."
Max ducked before the leg torn off another John Doe corpse could hit her in the head.
"Yeah, that's not our dad, unfortunately."
"Then you'd better get your sister out of here before I have to arrest her for desecration of a corpse. Or multiple corpses."
Max reached out to pat the shifter cop on the shoulder as a thank you, but he jerked away from her so violently she decided not to push it. She knew that sometimes honey badgers made other shifters nervous. Besides, it was one of those days, wasn't it, when everybody was just a little more sensitive than usual.
"Put that torso down right this second, Charlie McKilligan,"
Stevie yelled, pointing her finger at their outraged sister and using her own body to protect the poor morgue attendant.
"Right this second."
Berg walked into the room, cell phone in hand, eyes on Charlie. She stood in the middle of Vic and Livy's living room, staring blankly at the far wall. The three sisters had just returned to the apartment, but he honestly didn't know what was going on. Stevie rushed in from the kitchen with a glass of what looked like scotch on the rocks in her hand.
"Drink this, Charlie. It'll help."
Charlie's blank gaze focused on the glass of scotch, and she locked on it for several long seconds. Everyone in the room watched her watching the scotch. Berg had remained at Livy's place because he'd found the sisters a place to stay and needed to take them there. Coop, however, refused to return to his own New York apartment because he wanted to see what happens next. His exact words. Dag and Shen were still hanging around because neither had anywhere interesting to go anyway. And Vic and Livy lived here. They all watched Charlie, the room silent, until she suddenly barked,
"I need to bake!"
Her sisters quickly moved out of her way, and she disappeared into the kitchen.
"There's nothing in there," Livy called out to Charlie, "that anyone can use to bake."
She glanced at the others.
"What? I don't shop a lot."
"This is bad," Stevie said softly. "When she starts baking..."
"So," Coop guessed, "it was your dad?"
"I'm so sorry."
"Oh, no." Max cut him off, her arms swinging out toward the big picture windows.
"He's still out there somewhere, alive, fucking up our lives."
"Your father's not dead?" Vic asked.
Max and Stevie shook their heads.
"And your sister's upset because..."
"He's not dead."
Vic leaned back in his couch.
"Didn't see that coming."
Charlie suddenly walked back out of the kitchen, a bag of unopened flour in her hands.
"Do you all realize..."
"Uh-oh," Stevie said softly, her head dropping,
"that the only reason we're all here is because of my father?"
She pointed at Coop.
"You had to cancel the rest of your world tour because of my father."
She pointed at Berg.
"You were shot and stabbed because of my father."
"I'm not sure we can blame him specifically."
She pointed at Livy.
"You got in a fight with your cousin because of my father."
Pointed at Vic.
"Strangers in your apartment because of my father."
She gestured between her and Max and Stevie.
"Recent attempts on our lives, most likely because of our idiot father."
"We don't know," Stevie interrupted, that Daddy had anything to do with any of this. Her sister suddenly turned to her and stared, for a really long time, until Stevie finally admitted, it was probably him, but we don't know it was him. That's all I'm saying. Making a sound of disgust, Charlie turned on her heel and walked back into the kitchen.
Where did she find the flour? Livy asked Vic. We have flour?
I don't know why you're all mad at me, Stevie argued. He is still our father.
I'm not angry at you, Dag suddenly announced, thoughtfully gazing across the room. But I don't know you, so I don't have any reason to be angry at you.
A beep sound from the kitchen had Livy frowning.
We have a microwave oven? She asked Vic. When did we get a microwave oven?
A moment later, Charlie returned from the kitchen. Now she held a stainless steel mixing bowl in the crook of her left arm and a wooden spoon in her right hand, and whatever she had in that bowl was taking a hell of a beating from that spoon. No one is angry at you, Stevie, Charlie stated, still mixing. I don't blame you for how you feel about that idiot. I call him Dad, Stevie said to the others. But we have a serious problem here. We're not safe while he's alive.
I could track him down, Max said. Kill him.
She glanced at Stevie.
Cry a little about doing that if it will make you feel better.
Stevie's eyes narrowed.
It wouldn't.
No, no. Charlie shook her head, still mixing. I can't ask you to do that. If there's one thing our father knows how to do, it's hide. You'll never find him, and you'll just get frustrated.
Because her frustration is everyone's main concern in this particular conversation, Vic muttered.
We need a safe place to hide, Charlie reasoned, her mixing arm never stopping. With Dad still alive and the ones trying to kill us still out there, we have to find a safe house. We may have to leave New York.
I don't think they're trying to kill all of us, Max suddenly announced to Charlie. Just you and me. I think they want Stevie alive.
Charlie briefly stopped mixing.
What makes you think that?
Well, you know, when we... Max abruptly cut off her own words and looked around the room.
You know, when we were in the Mercedes near where we picked up Stevie? She asked vaguely.
Yeah, Charlie said.
That time they didn't try to blow us all away. They tried to negotiate, which only makes sense if they wanted Stevie.
Charlie began mixing again.
Unbelievable, she snapped. He sold her again.
Vic's head snapped up.
Wait, what?
But the sisters ignored him. We've got to get out of here, Charlie told her sisters.
Wait,
Berg said before they could leave.
I have a place for you guys, a safe place.
Charlie gave him a very small smile. I don't feel right getting you involved. You know, again.
It's already set up. I promise you can't find a safer place.
Max snorted. Like we haven't heard that before.
If my brother says it's safe,
Dag cut in,
it's safe.
Okay. Charlie smiled even while Max appeared not to believe a word Berg was saying. But Berg didn't care if the honey badger believed him or not. Just give me 10 minutes to finish the cookies and we'll go. She disappeared back into the kitchen and Max pointed at Berg. You better be right about this, or I'm going to get cranky.
You can't find a safer place than this one,
he promised, meaning every word. The pair stared at each other, Max sizing him up, making sure he was telling the truth until Livy threw up her hands and demanded,
Is no one else concerned about what the fuck she's using to make those cookies?
After Charlie put a plate of the most amazing honey lemon sugar cookies Berg had ever tasted in Livy's hands,
Where in the unholy fuck did you find stuff to decorate these cookies with?
Berg took the three women to Grand Central Station, where they caught the Long Island Railroad. None of them spoke as they headed out to Queens. Stevie pulled out a reader from her bag, giving her access to thousands of digital books. She read the entire trip and didn't say a word. Max, with a small smile on her lips, gazed at random people on the train until they got up and moved. Charlie simply stared out the window. When they arrived at the Jamaica station, they got off, and Berg led them to the garage where he kept his SUV. The three women silently put their bags in the back of his vehicle and piled inside. On the drive, Stevie continued to read, Max continued to smile, Charlie continued to stare. Coop had wanted to come along on this trip, but Berg had a feeling that the sisters didn't really want to be bothered with anyone at the moment. The fact that they had to be bothered with Berg was probably a tad more than they could stand. Adding a nosy jackal would no doubt push one or all three of them over the edge. So Dag took the maestro home, and Berg was here. Berg turned onto his street. He loved this Queens neighborhood and had been grateful when he'd found it. Living in the city wasn't really his thing. He'd been raised in Washington, after all, and with his parents, he was used to a much more relaxed way of life. He got out of his SUV and went to the back. He pulled out their bags just as his phone went off. Berg looked at the screen and cringed. His sister's text was in all caps. That was never good.
I'll be right back, ladies, he said, pointing at the house he'd secured for them. Why don't you guys have a look around the yard?
Berg started across the street until he got another all-cap text. Then he ran. Charlie stood by her sisters, the three of them staring out over the Queen Street that Berg had taken them to before running away like he was on fire. She briefly wondered if he'd actually come back. Considering the day she'd already had, she wouldn't be surprised to find out that this was all an elaborate setup to kill her and Max and take Stevie. And the sweet bear was the great mastermind behind it all. It would be her luck, wouldn't it?
I guess this could be less safe, Max commented, her gaze examining everything quickly and closely.
Charlie glanced down one side of the street and then the other. What does that mean? What's wrong with it? Max watched her for a moment before asking,
"We need to get your allergy meds, sweetie."
She briefly glanced at Stevie, who was staring up at the sky.
"And this one needs to be less oblivious."
"Why? What am I missing?" Charlie asked before she sniffed the air. But she couldn't detect anything. She really needed her meds. "What am I not smelling?"
"Don't sweat it," Max sighed. "It's not like we have a lot of choices."
Because, once again, their father had made choices impossible for his daughters.
"It's very nice, though," Stevie remarked. "You know, for Queens."
Max glanced at her sister.
"What do you know about Queens?" "I know about lots of places. Been to lots of places. You're not the only one who travels a lot, Maxie McKilligan. You travel from lab to lab and mental hospital to mental hospital. Not exactly like you're taking in the scenery on your way to and from."
"How do you know what I do or don't do? You're never around."
"Because I know you. You're the only person I've ever met who didn't have time to notice the Eiffel Tower while in Paris.
I was busy, and I'll have you know I've seen it since."
"You three the sisters?"
a gruff voice asked from behind them. Max instantly went for one of the knives she kept on her body at all times, forcing Charlie to grab her hand before she could pull one free, a skill she taught herself very early in life so that she could keep her middle sister out of juvenile detention, and then, when Max was older, prison. Stevie, also startled, screamed like she'd been stabbed, her back arching, before she flipped herself onto the nearest tree trunk, her claws digging in. With a warning hiss, she scrambled backward up into the branches, disappearing among the leaves. The gruff man who'd been standing behind them stared at the tree, wide eyes wider. Stepping in front of her middle sister, so if Max tried to stab anyone, she'd have to take Charlie out first, she held out her hand.
"Charlie McKilligan," she said, introducing herself. "This is my sister Max, and in the tree is Stevie."
Big brown eyes focused on Charlie.
"Why do you all have boy names?"
he asked, now appearing nervous. Not that Charlie blamed him.
"My father always wanted boys. But like Henry VIII, he only got girls." "Actually," Stevie explained from her hiding place in the tree, "Henry had a son, and he was crowned king after his father's death, but he was sickly. Didn't last long. That's when Bloody Mary..."
"Why is that one up in a tree?"
the gruff man asked.
She's a genius, so she's weird.
Is she always so jumpy? We don't like jumpy around here.
Charlie tried to think of a good answer that wouldn't lose them their temporary home before they even saw it. But before she could say a word, a bee flew by, briefly lurking around Max's face. And just like that, her sister was off.
"Where are you going?"
Charlie demanded.
"Bees,"
was the only response she got back. But it was really all Charlie needed.
"She's going to be a problem,"
the gruff man said. "I know it seems that way.
We don't like her kind here."
Charlie blinked, shocked. "What did you just say to me?"
"You heard me."
Stevie's head stuck out from the leaves, and she accused,
"You racist!"
The gruff man frowned.
"Huh?"
"You heard me. You're a racist. And when Maxie gets back, she's going to kick your ass for it."
Berg walked out from behind a house across the street and jogged over.
"Sorry about that,"
he said, coming closer.
"My sister had some issues,"
he smiled.
"So how are we getting along?" "You didn't tell me what they were,"
the gruff man said.
"Yeah."
Charlie couldn't help but sneer.
"Two women of color must be terrifying for you."
The two men looked at each other and back at Charlie.
"What are you talking about?"
Berg asked.
"Apparently only Stevie can stay here in your precious neighborhood. She seems to be white enough." "And you, sir,"
Stevie yelled from the tree,
"will not make me feel horrible for what you said. I will not take the mantle of white guilt on my shoulders, thank you very much."
Berg shook his head.
"Tiny doesn't care that you're black or that your sister's Asian. That's probably the last thing he cares about." "It really is,"
the gruff man sighed.
"His name is Tiny?"
Charlie asked, staring up at the man. He was taller than Berg and wider.
"Family nickname,"
he growled.
"All Tiny cares about is that you guys are honey badgers,"
Berg went on.
"That's going to be a problem with my neighbors,"
Tiny admitted.
"Especially the ones with hives."
"Why would that matter?" Charlie asked. She was confused until she realized Max had taken that particular moment to return to her side. A dripping honeycomb was in her hand, and hundreds of angry bees were hanging from her face like some bizarre tribal mask.
"Jesus!"
Charlie snapped, quickly stepping away from her sister and waving more angry bees from her own face. Max gazed blankly at her, ignoring the other bees that were still attacking her like the horde they were.
"What?"
Max asked. Deciding it was a waste of her time to have this discussion now, Charlie returned her attention to the men and guessed,
"I see. You're all bears. This neighborhood is all bears."
She grinned, proud of herself for finally figuring that out without her ability to smell. The two men glanced at each other again.
"You didn't know that?"
"Allergies,"
she reminded Berg.
"You couldn't tell just by looking at Tiny?"
Berg asked.
"There are big, full humans everywhere. Most of them are on steroids, but still..."
"Look,"
Tiny said.
"It's nothing personal, but..."
He pointed at Max.
"She's already stealing from hives. That one..."
He pointed at Stevie.
"Is way too jumpy. And you..."
He stared at Max a moment before ending with,
"You smell weird."
"I had a shower and my clothes are clean."
Berg shook his head.
"He doesn't mean you smell bad. You just don't smell like a breed or species he's dealt with before. Which means you're a hybrid, and not a bear hybrid either. We only deal with bear hybrids."
"Racism!"
Stevie yelled from the safety of the tree.
"It's not racism,"
Tiny grumbled.
"But it is bigotry,"
Berg told him.
"And you know how my sister feels about that."
The bear gave Tiny a strange, knowing smile, and Charlie briefly wondered what it meant.
"I really would hate to tell her about this. You know how she loves to lecture." "All right,"
Tiny cut in.
"All right. But if they turn into a problem, it's on you." "Fine."
"No,
no."
Charlie grabbed Berg's arm and pulled him away.
"Excuse us."
She dragged him across the yard until they reached the fence.
"Dude, you do not want to be responsible for anything that me and my sisters,
especially Max, do. She leaned in to Berg and whispered, "Trust me on this." He leaned down and whispered back, "I appreciate your concern, but Tiny is a difficult bear. If he thinks the hives are at risk, he will not let you and your sisters, especially Max, stay." He straightened up, smiled. "It'll be fine."
"It won't be fine. My sisters and I attract trouble."
"I've noticed that."
"So why would you want to be part of it? Do you have poor decision-making skills?"
"I bet you do." "I don't think."
"Look, I'll take care of this," she said, patting his chest. "Trust me."
Charlie walked back until she stood right in front of Tiny.
"Listen up. I'll take full responsibility for my sisters. Any damage done, any hives invaded, any bears startled into panic, it'll be all on me. I'll fix, repay, replenish, or apologize as needed. You have my word on it."
She held her hand out, and after staring at it for a long moment, Tiny took it, his freakishly large fingers swallowing her hand whole.
"I trust you,"
Tiny said to Charlie, but then he locked his gaze on Max.
"But this one I don't trust."
Max shrugged, her mouth filled with stolen honeycomb.
"That's probably wise."
Charlie waited until Tiny and Berg turned away before cuffing her sister on the back of the head.
"Idiot,"
she quietly snapped. She started to follow the two men, but stopped long enough to bark at Max,
"And get those goddamn bees off your face!"
When Tiny led them into the unoccupied house, Berg grimaced a little. It had been ages since Tiny had had tenants here, and he'd not kept the place up. Even worse, he'd clearly been using it as some sort of hoarder's extra storage.
"So what do you think?"
Tiny asked.
Charlie began. "You also hoarding pets here?" Max flatly asked. "Maybe some dead bodies?"
Charlie grabbed her sister by the neck of her T-shirt and shoved her toward an open doorway.
"Go check out the kitchen, please, and let me handle this."
Her sister shrugged and walked off, and Tiny led Charlie on a tour of the house. Berg trailed behind, still cringing at every new sign of how bad this house actually was. He was suddenly glad his sister wasn't here. Britta would be all on his back over this.
"How could you let Tiny show her such a shitty house? What were you thinking?"
His sister had little tolerance for what she called the obliviousness of Berg and Dag, an obliviousness she prided herself on not having.
"Daddy and I are the only ones who keep this family alive," she would remind her brothers. "You do realize that, don't you?"
They ended up back in the living room, and Tiny began.
"So what do you—"
"All right," Charlie cut in. "Here's the deal. Take $500 off the rent. It was way too high anyway. And we'll get this place cleaned up for you. So clean, you'll actually be able to rent it for what you're trying to squeeze out of us. Plus no 30 days notice. When we leave, we leave. But before you complain, we'll give you 3 months up front and in cash. And if we leave before the 3 months, you get to keep the extra. Deal?"
Tiny gazed at Charlie until he shrugged and said,
Deal?
Berg had no idea why Tiny had made that sound like a question, but okay. With a smile, Charlie shook Tiny's hand again, turned her head, and yelled out,
"Max!"
Max came in from the kitchen. She'd finished the honeycomb and had cleaned off the honey and dead bees from her face. Now she had bright, red, angry sting marks all over her skin. If it bothered her, she didn't let on.
"What?"
she asked her sister. She jerked her thumb at Tiny.
"Money."
With a nod, Max suddenly pulled off her T-shirt, and both Berg and Tiny backed up, hands raised.
"No, wait a second,"
Tiny said, trying to halt her. He had a sow mate who'd tear his balls off if he even entertained the idea of taking out rent in trade. But Max shook her head.
"Get over yourself," she said, before digging into her bra and taking out chunks of cash.
She'd managed to place the bills in a way that made them look like actual breasts. She handed the big chunks to her sister and put her T-shirt back on. Charlie quickly counted out the cash and handed it to Tiny.
"Okay, well..."
Tiny blew out a breath.
If you need anything, I'm down the street. Berg knows where."
Thanks.
And remember, Tiny, Berg added as the bear lumbered toward the front door, they're not here. If anyone that's not from the neighborhood asks about them, let me know. With a grunt, Tiny walked out, and Berg offered, you know, we've got extra bedding you can borrow over at my house, and me and my siblings can come by tomorrow to help you clean up the place. I'm sure this is all really daunting.
Sure. She smiled at him. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate everything you've done. After the day I've had, you are my only bright spot. Thank you.
No problem.
Now. He should ask her out now. Mostly because he didn't know when she'd leave. She'd paid for 3 months, but he got the feeling she'd only done that because she didn't expect to be here 3 months, and she didn't want any complaining from Tiny.
So...
Sensing he was being watched, Berg glanced down and to his left. Max stood right next to him, gazing up at him. He then looked to his right and down. Stevie watched him, eyes narrow in distrust. But when she realized he was staring back, she forced a smile that just made him feel terribly uncomfortable. Maybe this wasn't the best time to ask Charlie out. Yeah, probably not.
Okay, well, see you tomorrow.
Charlie watched the bear walk out of their temporary home, the front door closing behind him. Alone with her sisters, she let out a breath and looked around the room.
You said we'd clean this place? Max asked.
With an eye roll, Charlie snapped, Don't worry, I wasn't including you. I know how much you hate to, you know, help.
As long as we're clear.
I can help, Stevie said, grabbing the first thing she saw. I can organize or, put stuff in a pile. Or I can,
or,
Charlie quickly cut in, you can relax. Let me handle this. Charlie, this is a lot of stuff, and you have to be as tired as, let me handle it. I'll give you guys things to do later.
Sure you will.
Max snorted and disappeared up the stairs. Stevie just shook her head and went toward the kitchen. Once they were gone, Charlie let out a relieved sigh. Now she could see what needed to be done and handle it. It wasn't that she didn't trust her sisters or Berg to help her. It was just that people tended to get in her way when they thought they were helping. And everyone always needed some kind of direction. It was just easier for her to take care of it herself. What Charlie didn't understand was why everyone insisted on acting like that very sound reasoning was somehow wrong. The house was way bigger than Max had realized. Old, but very nice. It just needed to be cleaned. Something she was sure her sister could easily handle. Charlie wasn't one for sitting around doing nothing. Max picked a room with a window seat. She sat down and stared out at the quiet Queen Street. The big bear, who she felt positive really liked Charlie, came by with fresh bedding and towels, handing it off to Stevie. Sadly, though, Max couldn't concentrate on much, like the bears and all the hives they had around this street. She shook her head. Her father wasn't dead. How could she concentrate enough on anything when people were still after them? And now they were on a street filled with bears. For their safety. Charlie would try to fix this on her own, but nope. They needed backup. They needed friends. Pulling her phone from her back pocket, Max hit speed dial and waited for the other side to connect.
Is he dead?
A low voice asked without even a hello. Max smiled. Sadly, no. And we're in trouble. The low chuckle she knew so well.
Of course you are. I'm across country, but I'm on my way. And there's one other thing I heard about your father that I think I should tell you.
Max closed her eyes and sighed. Chapter 7 The front door slammed open, and Berg dropped his head so he could focus exclusively on his breakfast. Dag tried to do the same thing, but his plate was already empty, so he tried to make a run for it. But their triplet was already in the kitchen doorway, snarling like an angry sow, which was exactly what she was at the moment.
That woman, she snapped,
pushing Dag back into the kitchen. "That obsessive, crazy woman!" He knew she meant Coop's oldest sister, Tony Jean-Louis Parker Reed, a jackal that he now realized made a grisly sow look like a crack-addicted mom. She was so protective of her siblings. Britta dropped her travel bag and purse to the floor. "She was on my ass from the time I met her at the airport in Milan through dealing with local authorities about the attack until I was finally able to shake her at JFK. The whole time she's freaking out on me." She pointed an accusing finger at Berg. "And you left me with her!"
"You said you could handle her," Berg reminded her.
"We all know I think highly of myself and think very little of everyone else, but this time I didn't realize the depths of her crazy."
She pulled out a chair and dropped hard into the seat. She looked around at the table and reached over to snatch bacon off his plate. He growled in warning.
"Don't even start with me," she bellowed.
They ate in silence, and Dag made more bacon and toast for their sister and Berg. After several cups of coffee and the food, his sister's entire demeanor changed. Britta relaxed in her chair, one foot resting on the opposite thigh.
"So what are we up to today?"
Amazing what a little food and coffee could do for a grisly female.
"I'm going over to help out Charlie and her sisters."
Britta rubbed her nose with the back of her fist.
"Who's Charlie?"
Dag, still eating, poured honey onto a slice of wheat toast.
"The woman who almost got him killed." "You met her again? How?"
Britta leaned forward.
"Was she still naked?" "Sadly, no," Dag said with a grin. "Why is she here?" Britta asked. "Did you track her down and bring her here?"
Insulted by even the suggestion,
"Of course not." "But he did get Tiny to give her the old house across the street so he can easily stalk her."
Berg glared at his triplet.
"Why are you talking?"
Dag wrapped his big hands around an oversized coffee mug.
"I just find it fascinating what you're doing for this woman. It's so unlike you." "I'm helpful," Berg argued. "I help where I can. I'm beloved."
Dag and Britta quickly looked away from each other, and Berg knew they were trying not to openly laugh in his face, something he did appreciate. A sound at the kitchen doorway attracted their attention. They watched as their 200-pound Caucasian bear dog, or Caucasian shepherd, depending on who you asked, stretched and yawned before briefly sitting so he could use his back paw to scratch his neck and jaw. When he was done, he moved beside Britta, placed his paws on the table, and leaned over until he could grab the entire pile of bacon Dag had made. Then he disappeared into the other room to eat in peace. The siblings refocused on each other, and Britta asked Berg,
"You know, you said this woman was a shifter, but you never told me what she is." "She's a hybrid," he said, trying to keep it simple. "Hybrid what?"
Berg spun his answer carefully.
"She said her mother was wolf."
"Eh!"
The entire left side of Britta's face twisted in annoyance and disgust. Like most bears, she had little tolerance for wolves, something that should distract his sister for quite a...
"But her father is Honey Badger,"
Dag volunteered. Britta threw up her hands.
"Really?"
she asked Berg. Berg, at the same time, threw up his hands.
"Really?"
he asked Dag. Charlie opened the front door, and three very large people who looked almost exactly alike stood on her porch. She briefly wondered how that would be, having siblings who actually looked like each other. She and her sisters each resembled their mothers, thankfully. Charlie disliked her father so much she would not like to see his mug staring back at her from the bathroom mirror every day. "Hi," she said with a smile. It surprised her that not only was she not unhappy to see Berg, but she was actually glad to see him.
"Hey."
Berg held up a bucket filled with cleaning supplies.
"We've come to help."
"Sure. Come on in." She stepped back and let the trio into her home. The males had to duck to clear the doorway. The female didn't, but her brown and gold hair nearly got snagged on the doorframe. Berg walked farthest into the house, pausing in the living room.
He stopped. He stared. Then disappeared through the hallway to the kitchen. A few moments later, he came back in and gawked at Charlie.
What? She finally asked. Where is it?
What?
The mess. The hoarder mess that Tiny left you with.
Oh, that. I cleaned it up. Started yesterday. Worked late into the night. Slept a couple of hours, then got up around 3 or so and finished. Looks pretty good, too, right? I put all his junk in the garage so he can pick through it at his leisure. Max walked into the room holding a jar of honey. She used a spoon to ladle big gobs into her mouth.
I don't understand, Berg said. How did you three get this all done so quickly?
Max gave a short laugh and set around the spoon in her mouth.
Three? This is all her. We didn't do anything.
Not true, Charlie reminded her. You two cleaned your bedrooms.
So we could go to sleep before you did.
So you cleaned this house by yourself? Berg asked Charlie.
Well,
but I told you we'd be back today to help. Why didn't you wait?
Yeah, sis, Max taunted. Explain to him why you didn't wait.
Shut up, Charlie told Max. She didn't need to yell it. She knew Max understood without yelling. She focused on Berg.
It was just easier to do it by yourself, really.
I could just get in there and get it done.
Easy peasy.
I get it, the woman said. If you do it yourself, you get it done the way you want without having to constantly explain or give direction.
Yes, thank you.
Because you're the only one who can do it perfectly. Everyone else is a fuck-up.
Yes!
Wait.
No.
Berg shook his head.
Fell into my sister's trap. This is Britta, by the way. And you remember Dag?
Feeling stupid, Charlie admitted, it's not my fault that people can't take basic direction. I can tell them, I can write shit out, I can give them diagrams, and they still do it wrong. It's just easier for me to do it myself. So I do. It's nothing personal.
It's not?
It's not personal.
Did you get to the outside?
Berg asked, probably trying to head off an argument.
What's outside? She asked.
Trees. Plants. Right now it looks like you live in Gray Gardens.
Oh. Yeah, you can do that. Because Charlie didn't care about what was outside. She'd only said she'd take care of the inside. The outside, in her opinion, was not her problem.
Thank you.
Chuckling and still sort of shaking his head, Berg walked off through the house, his siblings following after him. Max, leaning against a wall, her jar of honey nearly finished, began counting. 5, 4, 3, 2. A panicked, hysterical scream, followed by bear growls. Stevie ran into the living room and dove under one of the couches, where she would stay for most likely a while.
There are bears! She screamed from under the couch. There are bears in our house! Why are there bears in our house?
Charlie scratched her forehead and faced Max. Any word on Dad?
Not yet.
Why do I feel like you're hiding something from me?
Max shrugged. Because I probably am.
Is what you're hiding going to give me a migraine?
Yes.
Then keep it to yourself for now.
That was my plan.
Does no one care that there are bears in our house?
Stevie screeched. Max glanced out one of the windows. Berg walked by on the other side.
How long are we going to stay here anyway?
Until we at least know what's going on.
Why? You don't like it here?
Max shrugged.
I'd rather be in the city. This is the burbs.
It'll be nice. We can live like normal people for once.
Stevie poked her head out.
Did you hear that? Chittering. There are squirrels in this neighborhood.
Squirrels!
She went deeper under the couch. Max licked the back of her spoon.
Yep, just like normal people.
Berg slapped at the hand rubbing his head from the tree limb above him.
Stop messing around and get back to work. I have been working for hours, and now I'm tired,
Dag complained.
And hungry.
He patted Berg's head again. Fed up, Berg grabbed his brother's arm and yanked him from the tree, slamming him to the ground. He was about to lay into him when Charlie called out,
"You guys hungry?"
Berg ran over his brother's chest to get to the metal table on the patio right outside the back of the house. There was a plastic red checkered tablecloth spread out, and fresh food in big aluminum trays. A lot of food. Berg had almost reached the table when Britta stepped in front of him and shoved him back with her shoulder. "Me first," she said, smiling. "Sit," Charlie offered, her hand indicating the metal chairs. "Did you make all this?" Britta asked. "I made the call that brought all this food here. That's kind of the same, right?" Britta, a consummate food orderer herself, laughed and sat down. Max brought out another platter of food, and Charlie glanced back at her, tossing over her shoulder, "You guys go ahead and get start." She stopped talking when she saw that the Dunbears had already started. Food was piled on their plates, mouths already full, chewing having already commenced. "Oh." She blinked a few times. "All right."
"Sorry,"
Berg said around his food. "No need to apologize." Charlie sat down on the bench opposite them. "You've done so much work, I'm not surprised you're hungry."
"The place looks great," Max said, straddling the bench. "I had no idea we had a pool."
"All bear homes have a pool, or a hot tub. Some have both. Most of us really like water."
"This is a bear home?"
She gave a small frown.
"You barely cleared the doorways."
"The house was originally built for black bears. You'll find a few fox homes down the block. I practically have to crawl through their doorways."
"Where's Stevie?" Charlie asked. Max, reaching for a pre-made honey salmon sandwich, shrugged. Charlie forced a smile. "Excuse me a moment." She went inside, and for a few seconds there was nothing but silence. Then yelling. Lots of yelling. 3 minutes later, Charlie returned. She had her arms around her sister's waist and was carrying her like a panicked cat she was trying to take to the vet. Stevie's arms and legs stuck straight out, and there was hissing.
"Put me down," Stevie demanded. "You need to eat. It's not my diet I'm worried about."
"You're being overdramatic. Stop it."
"I will not stay out here,"
Stevie screeched, legs and arms now swinging wildly.
"I will not be eaten. My brain is too important for future societies to allow it to be eaten."
If Max noticed any of what was going on, she didn't show it, focusing instead on her sandwich and the bag of honey barbecue chips she'd opened. But Berg and his siblings were fascinated.
"Look,"
Charlie ordered her sister, aiming the woman at the Duns. "They already have food. There is no reason to eat you."
"Are you insane? They're bears." "Shakuse,"
Max suddenly announced. Then she laughed. Berg got the feeling she was having her own conversation in her head. "Stevie, I would never let anyone hurt you," Charlie calmly reminded her sister. "Not now, not ever. So please, eat something. You haven't eaten all day, and I really don't want to do that intravenous thing again, do you?"
"You sure she took her meds?"
Max asked, not even glancing at either sister.
"Stop acting like I hear voices," Stevie said.
"You don't?"
"I have a panic disorder, not schizophrenia."
"Then act like you've got some sense and sit down." Max slid down the bench, and Charlie placed Stevie in the open spot. She was a cute little thing, not like her sisters at all. Max was petite but powerfully built, and there was something about her that screamed sex. He wasn't sure why. Berg wasn't attracted to her. To be honest, she scared him a little. The way that she looked at the world, it was like watching those full lions on the Serengeti, like she was an apex predator and the rest of the world was just her available prey. And Charlie, she really seemed less shifter than any of them. If Berg couldn't smell it on her and hadn't seen her in action in Milan, he'd never guess that was what she was. She was too calm, too reasonable, and definitely gorgeous. All those soft brown curls framing her perfectly proportioned face, those dark eyes that looked at everything with curiosity and warmth, and that strong but soft body that he knew could handle all sorts of things. Nope. Nope. He had to stop thinking about all the things her body could possibly do. especially with his sister and brother sitting on either side of him. But Stevie wasn't like either sister. Medium height, but so thin. He had the